worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Worship Him in your own way today. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy. Hallelujah. We lift up your holy with me.
Breath and living water, such among the Behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which were the seven spirits of God. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third like a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, and continue to say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was, and is to come." And when they end that phrase with new revelation, they say it again, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was, and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. You're holy, 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 thrice holy, holy." Sing it together. Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy is the
Lord God Almighty,
who was and is and is to come.
Ever coming, ever coming.
With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You.
Oh, I adore You, Lord.
I love
O majestic God, creator of everything that is, the one who looks upon our gathering today with delight, we say to you, we love you and we thank you for your provisions. We come now to bless you with our offerings. As an act of worship, we give back to you a portion of what you've given to us. Thank you for blessing us with much. We come, Lord, to just bless you with tithes and offerings and pledges. Thank you for giving back more than we could possibly give to you. We do it in Jesus' name, and everyone said, you may be seated if you can. Let me give a testimony before we move to the continue in worship. Someone said they began to tithe last week or a week before last. I don't remember the time frame. That week, they got way more back than they gave. They got a $2,000 check in their mailbox. How many know God's shovel is bigger than yours? He can't bless the prayer you don't pray, and he can't bless the offering you don't give. He multiplies back the seed we sow. So how many can say with me, I want to do the will of the Lord. I want to open up the windows of heaven so he can pour out a blessing on me, and I'm going to act in obedience. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's continue to worship.
In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace,
time, make it the desire of your heart. Sing that again softly. Would you just welcome his presence, not just in this place, but into your life as well, in a fresh new way. God, would you come and speak to us today? Would you manifest your presence in healing, encouraging, feeling, saving? Come on, everybody.
Lord, I thank you that all of us in this place are in your presence, that you're here. We can't see you, but we can sense you. You've been with us through the week. You brought us through the rough spot. You supplied the need. We're here to say thank you. Thank you for supplying the needs that we have. Thank you for bringing Brooke home okay. Thank you for ministry and bringing healing to bodies that were sick last week. Thank you, Lord, for your touch. Thank you for who you are. And everybody said, amen. Would you look at somebody next to you and tell them, he's in the house. He's in the house. He's in the house. God bless you. Look at somebody next to you and say, I'm glad you're in the house. I'm glad we can share his presence together. Amen. Hallelujah. Glad to have a very special guest in our house today, all the way from Arizona. And is that right? Are you living in California now? Where? Oh, Nevada. I'm sorry. I know her well. We're glad to have Bob in the service. Just so thrilled that you're here today. Really are. I'm glad you're in the house. Glad the rest of you are here. And if you've never been to Point Assembly before, in the tear-off on your bulletin, you can fill it out. We'd love to send you a gift just to say thanks for being here. It's an audio copy of the Book of Mark. You can listen to it going to and from work, or you can listen to it at the house. And it's the word translation, and we have copyright rights to do that, so we're not stealing anything. We bought those rights, and we would like to bless you with that. Plus, we'd like to just be praying with you. And we hope that you'll return and be with us again. But if you don't, the gift is yours, and we're not going to send you any duns in the mail. And everybody said, thank you for not doing that. There will be no recorded phone calls. Hi, this is Point Assembly. At 8:30 at night when you're eating a meal or trying to watch your favorite program. We're just glad you're here today. And everybody who is believing that said, amen! Amen. One more time, turn to somebody nearby and give them a big hug. If you have a license, you can leave some lipstick. If you have your Bibles, open them with me to the Song of Solomon or the Book of Canticles if you are Catholic. Canticles. Canticles. I like that. Canticles. The Song of Solomon. It's a series of poems. It's the Song of Songs, according to the man who wrote it. There is no greater song than this song. He uses a superlative, Song of Songs. But have you ever seen that iridescent paint on cars that if you move the car a certain way with the light, it reflects a different color? There's flakes in there, and so if it catches the sun right, it reflects it maybe as an emerald green, or it might reflect it as a gold color, or it could reflect it as red. You look at the car and you think it's one color until you look at it from a different angle. Kind of like that bubble. It has different colors, and it's the way the sun is reflected off of the surface. And that's kind of the way the Song of Solomon is. The Song of Solomon is one of those books that can take on various different meanings. It can express different things. It could be the story between a king who shows up as a shepherd and woos this young peasant girl, the story of Solomon and Shulamite. In the time of exile, when the Jews were exiled and they were not at home and everything looked bleak, they began to read this book. And where you find the word beloved, David's name means beloved. And so when they would read it, they would read David's name. And they began to grow in hope, a messianic hope, that it wasn't over, that God would send the Messiah and he would bring deliverance. How many of you know he did? And he did. And so it could take on the meaning of God's love for Israel and his relationship with Israel as his bride. The Bible speaks about Israel that way, that the Father, God, and Israel, and his relationship. He tells him that he was betrothed to them and that they went a-whoring. They were unfaithful. He shows that in the book of Hosea. A people who were his people became not my people because of their infidelity. So it can take on that shade. Or it can move into the realm of Christ and His church. The Bible speaks of the church as the bride of Christ. And so you can have that aspect of it, depending on how the Spirit is shining His light on that book. And then it could be the believer and his or her relationship with Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord of glory. And so it's like that iridescent bubble. It can take on those various different shades of meaning and without damaging the book. I'm not going to try to build any doctrine on this book because of that very reason. It's kind of a shape-shifting book. It can kind of morph from one place to the other. And so what I've done this morning is we're using this as an illustration, and we'll find our text to build the teaching on in the New Testament in the book of 1 Corinthians. With that little thing in place, let's read the text. And you notice I put headings where I think the person speaking is, I identify the speaker. So if you want to, you can follow in your Bible. But I think that this young peasant girl, the Shulamite, is the one who is speaking here. She will tell us her story, but just to give you a general idea, apparently her mother and father, very wonderful people, and her mother died. Her father remarried. Inner stepmother. Her stepmother had children of her own. And these stepchildren were held in check as long as the father was alive. But then when Pop died, and all that was left was wicked stepmother, and wicked, sounds like Cinderella, doesn't it? And wicked stepbrothers, she is in trouble. They don't like her. And they put her out in the field to work in the vineyard. In that day, people didn't go to suntan parlors to get suntan because the style was to be nice and fair and pink-skinned. Some of you already have it. You're aristocrats by ancient standards. Nowadays, we go lay on beaches to get brown and to get skin cancer. But in that setting, being brown took on the connotation of a laborer. Somebody who wasn't raised in the house. Somebody who was less than. And she was thrust into the field to take care of the sheep, to trap the little foxes that spoil the vines, to take care of the grapes, to do all of the labor that these guys didn't want to do. That's kind of the background of her story as we read. We call her the Shulamite, Shulamay. Let him kiss me. How many of you know every girl dreams of her dream boat? The guy who will come along on the white horse dressed in shining armor and sweep her off of her feet. Let him, that's someone. She's seen this handsome shepherd. That's the other character. Let him kiss me. Oh, come on, we got to read this one out loud together. You ready? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his, woo! That's in the Bible. For your love is more delightful than Welch's grape juice. Pleasing is the fragrance of, you smell so good. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfumed or perfume. It just releases the fragrance. It's like getting 5-gallon buckets and just pour it. And it's released after your name. Whoo! She has got chill bumps going. No wonder all of the young women, in some of your translations it will say virgins, no wonder all of the unmarried girls love you. You're special. You're something else. So here's what I dream of doing. Take me away with you and let us hurry. Don't waste any time. Come get me and take me to your abode. Make me your wife. Let the king bring me into his chambers. Now, some of you will, in your text, it says, the king took me into his chamber. But it's possible it means let the king bring me. In the NIV is what you'll find that translation. And I think that's the right one. She is saying, this is what I want. I want to consummate our love together. I want us to become husband and wife so that our relationship is permanent. I don't just want to date you anymore. Some of you ladies in this place, if you're single, you're thinking, I've got to read this to my boyfriend. I'm tired of dating. I want to get this. And then she's, the daughters of Jerusalem, these are her bridesmaids, her friends. They say, we rejoice in you and be glad. We will praise your love more than wine. Remember that one? I will rejoice in you and be glad. And then the Shulamite sings up again. How many of you know in every play you got these scripted roles? And her role is, how right they are to adore you. You're something else. And then she says this, I am dark. And a conversation that is not apparent in your text, I think, from one of the shades as you look at this book, the beloved is the way he's referred to here, a shepherd who is a king. The beloved says in response to her statement, I'm dark. I'm ugly. I've been working outside and I don't look very good. He says, but you're lovely. Come on, say it with me. But lovely. Man, ain't that a good statement? Look at this. The Shulamite says, O daughters of Jerusalem, yeah, I'm beautiful like the goat's hair tents of Kedar. I'm all burnt up, messed up. And he goes, nope, you're like the curtains in my boudoir. You're like the curtains of Solomon. Now, how would he have known that? He appears as a shepherd, first of all. How would he have known that? Because he was Solomon. He knew what the curtains looked like, those beautiful curtains. Now watch this. She says, look at verse 6. Don't stare at me because I'm dark. Because I've been darkened by the sun. I've been working outside and I'm all burnt. My mother's sons were angry with me and they made me take care of the vineyards. But my own vineyard, I haven't had time to take care of myself. I'm unkept. I look like a work hand because that's all I've been doing. Here's this young girl, a peasant girl, who has never had any attention paid to her. After her mother and father died, she becomes the guy or the person who does all the menial tasks. She hasn't had a chance to take care of herself. She hasn't had a chance to do any kind of... Every girl likes some time in front of a mirror or at the beauty shop. And then all of a sudden, this beautiful, this handsome, this wonderful man comes along. And he's paying attention to her. All the girls like this guy. All of them. Any of them would just love for him to say, you're the one. And she's thinking, me too. But here's the thought. Not in my lifetime. I'm just not that kind of... I don't measure up. I'm less than. You know, how many of you remember when they would choose somebody for the ball team? You weren't the first one that got picked. Maybe you were the last one that got picked. They only picked you because you were there. It wasn't like they really wanted you on the team. Come on, anybody experience that growing up? That's the way she felt about herself. Less than. And I find people in the house of God that feel that way about themselves. They say, you don't know my past. God may be able to use Brother Paul Pepper. I mean, come on. He's a guy that's got it all together. He might use Dale. He's got it all together. He's man. But you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've done. You don't know. I'm dark. But somewhere in the midst of it all, the voice of the shepherd begins to speak, the great shepherd. And he says, no, I'm calling you. I have picked you to have a relationship with me. How many of you, it took a while for you to come around? Come on. It kind of, you wanted to believe that he was interested in you. In this case, she wanted to believe that someday he would come and just sweep her off her feet, put her in one of those little litters, those little carriages that are carried by all the attendants. And he would come with trumpets sounding and he would just take her off to live with him forever. Does that sound familiar? But she just didn't figure she was marrying material. It would never happen for her. Maybe somebody else, but never for her. How many of you know that there are a lot of people in the house of God that visit on Sundays that have never come to a place of hearing the voice of the King saying, I've chosen you. And some have even come into the kingdom of God and they believe that Jesus has forgiven them, but they fall short of enjoying the chamber experience. I say, are you listening? That everything that goes wrong in their life is based on something they did wrong and now they're being punished for it. How many of you know there's a such thing as grace, grace? And how many of you know there's a such thing as mercy, mercy? And so it's no longer just some ethereal idea that's out there, but now we give it place in here, and what change would it make? What change would it make for her if she really realized, He loves me? That maybe, just maybe, my dream will come true. Maybe, just maybe, that intimacy I long for can be mine. Well, that takes us then to our New Testament text and towards the end of our time together. This is one of those places I don't like leaving. But watch this. Paul is writing here concerning those who are taking their brothers to court. And he says, you're doing wrong in that. And in that statement and in that context, which I don't have time to deal with, he tells them this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Let me interject. How many of you know it's very possible that when she saw herself as dark, and when you saw yourself as dark, that's what happens when we see Him in His glory? She was dark. It wasn't an illusion. That's what she was. And sometimes that's what we focus on. But He doesn't just see what she is. He sees what she can be. Move her out of the vineyard and into the palace. Pamper her. Beautify her. Dress her up. Get her hair fixed. Look out. Do you see her? She can't see herself that way because she's focused on what she is, not what she can be. And I'm not here to just give a pep talk or just here to give a motivational speech. I'm here to tell you that He came to make a change in you and I. He came to beautify us with holiness. He came to change our attitudes. He came to change our inside and our outside and our beliefs and our behavior. He saw what she could be. She was saying the truth, I'm black. He said, yes, but sweetheart, you are beautiful to me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is this nuptial thing that goes on in the New Testament, this marital thing. And we'll look at some of it tonight in Ephesians 5, where it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. You're a part of that church. He gave Himself for you. He gave Himself for you. You can tell how valuable something is to someone by the price they're willing to pay for it. What did Jesus pay for us? He laid down His greater love has no man than this. He? Come on, somebody say, wow. Just a little wow will work. Wow. He loved me enough. While I was still dark, while I was still messed up. Lewis, I want you to be mine. Set all the sexual connotations aside. I want intimacy with you. I want a relationship with you. I want you to, one day I'm going to come for you and I'm going to take you to my Father's house. That's a marital term. That's what they did with the bride. They would come at the groom's party, would come to the bride's house and she would play hard to get. And she might scream and holler while he throws her over the shoulder and runs off with her. But on the inside, she's going, yes! You remember as a young man, you fell in love with that young girl and you looked at a picture when nobody was looking? When I was in boot camp, we had to memorize stuff. And they gave us this little notebook thing. And you'd have to memorize stuff when you flip through it. This one guy that was in a platoon, I was right behind him so I could see what he was doing. He had his girlfriend's picture in, or his wife, I'm not sure which. And I saw he'd stand there and look. He never memorized anything. He just looked at her picture the whole time he was there. How many of you remember you really came to love her, and when she just brushed your hand, or he brushed your hand with his? Oh, fire! That's the human side of this. How many of you know that the gentleness of His presence, His touch? We used to sing a song, and I thought about it this week. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Come on. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something wonderful happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Shulamay, you don't see yourself the way I do. And in this text, Paul says that the unrighteous, the dark, will never, ever get to come into the inner chamber. They'll always be outsiders. There is nothing they can do to change themselves. But that's why Jesus came. And some of you are ahead of me. It's the next part of that I want you to see. And such were, past tense. Say it with me. Such were. When are you going to accept God's forgiveness as a reality and not just a good idea? When are you going to believe that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin? The other night, my son-in-law asked the question, do we have to ask God to forgive us as Christians before He does? I think the blood cleanses and keeps on cleansing. That the asking is for my benefit. In other words, if I die without asking God to forgive me of a specific sin, do I miss out? No. The blood of Jesus. I'm in a position, a state of relationship with God. And the only thing that can break that is for me to get up and walk away, to deny, to lose faith, to just totally deny my relationship. It can be done. But my, who wants to move out of the relationship you have with Jesus? No one in their right mind. Look at this. And say it with me. And such were. You got to say that word real loud. Such were. Come on, do it one more time. Such were. How many know that's yesterday? Now here in the today, we're not that anymore. Say this out loud with me. I'm not what I used to be. But I'm not what I'm going to be either. He's working in my life. That's that other little song. He's still working on. He's still doing something in my life to make me like Jesus. That's His objective. To transform, to form my life so that when I walk in the world and when we walk together in the world, we can represent Jesus. I can't represent Him in His fullness or His allness, but all of us together can represent Him in His fullness. Ephesians 4 and verse 16. That together we show more to the world than any of us individually can. And I just want to interject this, and we'll talk more about it tonight. That little Shulamite represents the church, not just you. Jesus died for a bride that constitutes, is made up of all of God's people. Not just me and Jesus got our own thing going. Somebody say, And such, I don't know why, I just got to underscore that again. And such were. Somebody here needs to know, you're not what you used to be if you come to Christ in faith, repentance, if you turn from that and you trusted Jesus. Suppose this little girl is sitting there and he says, bring it to the palace. Wash her up. Put some new clothes on her. Fix her hair up. Come on, let's doll her up. I want to make her what I see, not what she sees. I say, are you there? What if she says, I think he's just patronizing me. I think he's just speaking empty words. He's just flattering me. She would be calling his integrity into question. How many of us do that with God? He says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, look what it says here. But you were, say it with me, you were washed. That's not water baptism. You were washed. You were cleansed. How? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. What cleanses us? The blood of Jesus. That represents His finished work. What He has done. What's interesting is you were washed. We didn't wash ourselves. We're passive recipients of what He does. I'm washed. Wow. Look at the next statement here. And sanctified. Man, that's what they used to say in the test. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost and sanctified. We didn't know what we were saying, but it sounded good. Granny said it. Grandpa said, in this case, this is not progressive sanctification. In this case, this is a different position. There was a time when you were in the kingdom of darkness. You were part of the world over which Satan rules. And God took you out of that and transferred you over to the kingdom of His dear Son. You have a different position now. You're in a different place now. Come on, somebody, say amen. Oh, thank you. That's not for me. Do you realize what He did? I told somebody the other day, I went through a tough time in my life, and I told them this, in regards to that, you don't need to know all the other details, that you can't get saved until you get lost. When you need a Savior, that's when you get saved. As long as you're good enough where you are, you'll never know the joy of salvation until you realize, I'm dark. And He comes along and He washes. How many know He does a good job? He gets behind the ears. He gets in the little cracks and crevices. Woo, come on. And then He takes us and He positions us in the body of Christ. The Spirit of God baptizes, immerses us into the body of Christ. He puts us in a new relationship. He puts us in a new position. And then look at the last one. And you were justified. How many of you know all of these? He doesn't say some of you were washed, but if you're in this thing, this is what happened to you. You got washed, you got sanctified. And I like this word better than justified. You got righteousified. Say it with me, righteousified. We don't have a good word like that in our vocabulary, so we use the word justified. But what He's saying is that you have right standing. How many of you know you've been accepted and you don't have to work for it? He didn't say to her, well, you know, I'm going to really love you now when this happens and when this happens and when you get this jewel in your nose and when this happens and you get that in your ear. And how many of you know he just loved her? He loved you before you got washed. But now that you washed, you can get into a relationship with Him. Now that you smell better. Look at this. And you were righteousified. You are now placed in... How many of you know that in the book of... And I'm getting ahead of myself. In the book of 1 John, in chapter number 4, in verse number 11, it says that as He is, so are... And you know what He says that in relationship to? You don't have to be anxious about the day of judgment because you're going to stand before God just like Jesus. Come on, positionally. I know practically he's still got a lot of work to do on us. But positional sanctification, where you stand just like Jesus in the presence of God. He has lavished his grace on us. He didn't take a little bottle and sparingly pour out a drop and put the cap back on. He broke the thing and poured it out over us. That's what Paul says in Ephesians. He lavished. Say that word. He lavished. He lavished his grace on us. And we are accepted where? On our own merit? And he even uses this term, the beloved. Let me just throw this in as a parenthesis. The marriage never takes place in the Song of Solomon. You have him coming for her on his wedding day with a crown on his head, in the litter. He gets her, and in chapter 4, you get to go inside the litter and listen to all the sweet talk. But the marriage never takes place. How many of you know that in this setting, it's pointing to you and I? This story couldn't be fulfilled on this aspect of the iridescent color until the church came into existence. Jesus will come, take his bride to himself. He's positioned you in that bride. Do you realize that this life is going to look awfully pale up against where he's going to take us to? Do you ever sound like the little Shulamite who says, "Draw me after you. Take me away from here. I want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table." Come on. How many of you know that that longing, that desire will not be fulfilled until the marriage is... There was a marriage feast. Do you remember that? That hadn't happened yet. He's gathering his bride, and Paul said that he was working on the bride, the church, as a eunuch to present her faultless, a chaste virgin. Because you can be a virgin and not be chaste. C-H-A-S-E. That is, you can flirt with everything and have affairs with everything that comes along and just never, well, as long as we don't go all the way. No, that's not how it works. She's saving herself, waiting for that moment. Matter of fact, you'll find a phrase in here, and I'm going a bit far afield here, but you will find this phrase, "Sustain me with cakes of raisins, refresh me with apples, I'm lovesick," and then she goes on to say, "and stir up, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases." The idea there being, don't get love stirred up until we can find consummation in the marital relationship. You follow that without me? How many of you know the best is yet to be? The Bible says that we have a foretaste, a down payment, an earnest, a little tiny taste. It's kind of like going to Sam's and the lady there with all his goodies says, "Would you like a taste, sir?" "No, ma'am." "Why not?" "Because I want to eat the whole thing." That's the idea, to want to sell me one. But I want to gratify my appetite on the spot. I wind up going over to Cracker Barrel or Outback or somewhere. And anyway, how many say, I taste and see the Lord is good. That's good. I got a hoovy doovy, a hors d'oeuvre, a horse diver. But I want something more. There's more. There's more of what I already have some of. That's what Paul says. For me to live is Christ, but to die, more gain. Man, I'm preaching myself happy. Let's see if I can close this out. What does it say? "But you were washed, sanctified, justified," what, "in the name of the Lord." He's the authority by which this happened and the means by which this happens. Remember, she talked about his name as like ointment poured forth. And then by the Spirit of God, he is the agent by which this is applied and by which this is done in our life. And everybody said, "Work in me, Holy Spirit." So I want to ask you this question. Did you hear the voice of the King calling you and saying, "Hey, come away. Come away with me." The betrothal. The engagement. Waiting for that day when the marriage is consummated. And I'm not talking sexually. I'm talking in terms of a spiritual intimacy that is yet to be, that we now experience in part. The kingdom will come in its fullness. It hasn't come in its fullness yet, but it's come. And here we are, the benefit of living under the guardianship of the Spirit of God who's working in us, who will present us faultless, spotless. How many know that's going to take a miracle? How many know He's capable? How do you see yourself this morning? How many say, I see myself, whoa, I've got to show you this. You ready for this? This is how it changes. Listen to what she says about herself in chapter 2, verse 1. I am the rose of... That's a long way from, I'm just ugly. I'm just dead dog on the side of the road, rotten ugly. She says, I am the rose of Sharon. I've always thought about Jesus that way. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. But how many of you know, as He is, bells went off. As He is, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. So you know what that old boy says next? I love it. He says, yeah, you're the lily among the thorns. Boy, he knew how to drop a word, didn't he? Some of these lines are not usable, like your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon. Don't try to use that on any of that. Girls really love that line. Your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon. No, that's not going to work. Or your teeth, or your hair looks like a herd of goats. That ain't going to work. But here she, something happened, and she's able to say, I am a rose of Sharon. Can I throw just something here real quick before we close? Sir, ma'am, the person you're living with, you're committed to them. That's a lifetime deal. And you can beat on them and beat them down, or you can build them up, and you can enhance their life and how you treat them. I'm not suggesting you need to run out of here and be Casanova, but I tell you what, if you want to live with a beat down, beat up, then you just go ahead and keep beating on them. But if you want to live with somebody who's going to love you like this, and see themselves rightly and love you, get this thing right and start talking to them right. Are you listening to me? And we do that with one another. We kind of talked about that last Sunday night. Learning how to talk prophetically. Learning how to talk. How many say, I've been working on it this week? Been working on it this week, yeah. Do you hear the King? We say, I am, and He says, but... Lovely. Yeah, but like, no. Like the linen curtains. God says it this way. You remind me of my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The joy. The King's calling you. And we'll never be a prophetic community and never speak like a prophetic community as long as we see ourselves as dark and nobody and underneath the King's calling us into relationship. How many say, I'm ready to make the move? I'm ready to let His Word determine how I see myself. And listen, you can go cuckoo with this and you deserve the best because you're a King's kid. Nah, it'll humble you. Never forget where you came from, but never forget where you are and who you are. Say it with me, He loves me. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank You for this text this morning, and I pray that there's some clarity in what we've said so that some heart this morning that feels somewhat on the outside because of things they've done in the past or because of their opinion of themselves, maybe they've listened to the crowd, God, that You would help us to hear Your voice, the voice of the Beloved, the One who loves us and who is truth personified, who would not tell us a lie. God, if we see ourselves in light of His presence as dark, we can take care of that. There's washing and there's sanctifying and there's righteousifying. And we can stand in Your presence and find acceptance. Help us to hear Your voice and not the condemning voice of the enemy who accuses and puts us down. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That we stand right with you because of His finished work. Thank you for continuing to progressively work in our life to make us more like Him, beautifying us. Our character is being changed. But help the people of Point Assembly and those who join us to really believe the word of the King. To really believe His verdict of not condemned. I can't claim innocence, but I can claim your forgiveness. Speak to us, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you listen to this? If you know it, you can sing.
You're my beloved, you're my bride. To sing over you is my delight.
Come away.
Come away with me.
I like this.
I see no stain in you, my child. You're beautiful to me. So beautiful.
Chorus again, everyone. Would you do that? You're my beloved.
You're my beloved. You're my bride. Sing over you is my delight.
Come away.
Come away with me, my love.
How many of you hear His voice this morning saying you need to put all that past that keeps burdening you down in a grave and throw dirt on it and walk away from it? You need to be done with it. That's not your life anymore, and that's not you anymore. Let's run together. Come on. It's you and me. He's talking to you. If you hear His voice this morning, we're going to stand in a moment. We're going to sing that. Sing it all the way through. And as we do, if you hear His voice, you hear Him talking to you. These altars are open, or right there where you stand, you can make an altar right there. Father, help us to abandon ourselves to Your Son, Jesus. You understand how wonderfully, perfectly we're loved. And perfect love casts out all fear. Do work, God, that only you can do. Come on, sing it together from the beginning.
You're my beloved, you're my bride. To sing over you is my delight. Come away with me, my child. Under my mercy, come and wait till we are standing face to face.
That's marriage.
You're beautiful to me.
Oh, so beautiful. Oh, so beautiful.
You're beautiful to me. I sing over you my song of peace.
Cast all your cares.
Cast all your cares.
Come and find your rest.
Come and find
your rest
in me.
I'll breathe my life into you.
I'll breathe my life inside of you. I'll bear you up on eagle's wing and find you in the shadow of my strength. I'll take you to my quiet waters. I'll restore your soul. Come rest in me and be made whole.
Here it is.
You're my beloved, you're my bride. To sing over you is my delight. Come away with me, my love.
I want to say this to a young man that's in this room this morning. I made note of it as we were passing through the text in 1 Corinthians that the washing and the sanctifying and the righteifying wasn't something the individual did for themselves. You've been trying. Boy, have you been trying. And you wear yourself out and wind back up in the same place. Jesus washes. Jesus repositions. Jesus gives us right standing. And it's administered by the Holy Spirit. What do? We receive. That's all He's asking you to do this morning. It's easy to accept love. It's easy to accept love's provisions if you can see it. But as long as we're trying to change ourselves, ain't going to work. Hear him. You're my beloved, you're my bride. To sing over you is my delight. Come away. Come on. Let's run together. Let's hang out for eternity. God's doing a work. We let Him. Change how we see ourselves. Change how that young lady sees herself. It's hard for her to even accept the love of her husband. And he does. But she sees herself as less than. Take the tourniquet off, God. Let faith believe what our God is saying. Ah. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, yeah. You know this one.
Oh, how he loves you and me.
He gave his life.
He gave his life. What more could he do?
Oh, how he loves me.
Oh, how.
Come on, sing it together as we sing our benediction.
Oh, how he loves you and me.
Oh, how he loves you and me.
Cherry on top of the cake. Yes, ma'am. I asked you a question the other night. When did you find out who you were? And you said,
it took me 40 years to find out who I was in
Christ. Can you hear okay? It took you what?
Like 40 years to find out who I was in Christ. And thank you, Lord, that he gave me joy unspeakable. And now I know.
What was the moment of epiphany? When did you, was there one thing or several things?
I get really frustrated and can I just take it? I got really frustrated and really...
Real close.
Now can you hear me? It is the most difficult thing trying to do things on your own. And I thought I could do it on my own. Because I was never good enough. Not just in my personal life, growing up, where I felt like what you talked about, not smart enough, not good enough, and not pretty enough, and never could fit in nowhere. And I tried spiritually to be good enough for Jesus. And I thought I had to work. I had to get everything just perfect before God would accept me. And I kept trying. Lord, deliver me of my sins and let me not have bad attitudes. And wow, it gets just exhausting trying to live like that. And one day, it's been like 6 years I've really been trying to live for God. But in the last year, a year ago, I hope it's okay I shared this. I wasn't going to, but it just came in my heart. My husband and I almost got divorced. Another failure and another mistake. And the enemy told me, I told you so. I told you you'd mess up again. I told you you can never measure up and live for him like you want. And I was believing it. And see, that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to believe the lies that we can't measure up and we've made too many mistakes in our past. And that's when I realized, I guess really when you really put it down, a year ago, I had to surrender absolutely all of me. It's not hard. What am I fighting it for? And I rebuked the devil. and the enemy, because as long as he can distract me to keep my eye off Jesus and keep putting those doubts in my mind that I'm not measuring up, I know what the Bible says. I was raised in church. I know his promises, but I just wouldn't receive them. I just wouldn't let him completely heal my brokenness, because I just thought I have to be perfect first before. And man, when I surrendered and I gave it all to him, and he healed my heart and he poured forgiveness, I forgave myself. That God already forgave me. It was already under the blood. But I was able to forgive myself. And that's when the freedom.
And that's my question to you is, what difference has it made?
Oh, wow. I can actually go to bed at night.
Thank
and
you, Jenny.
Sleep and know that whatever happens tomorrow, he's got it. It's his will be done. It's not me trying to figure it out like I used to do. I just give it to God, and he takes all those things that I thought I had to work to do to find grace and mercy in God. I still sin and still am human. But see, now that not only is that desire there, but God has taken a lot of the worldly desires and things that I used to struggle with just away. He did it for me.
All things pass away.
All things pass away, and I'm all new.
The new one's on its way in.
Yes.
And this is your knight in shining armor.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise. The Disney song says, and it can happen to you. But this is not a fantasy. This is reality. I'm going to ask you to do something for us. The person that's out here today that's really struggling, just don't measure up or whatever, or even a Christian, somebody who's a believer, and they just haven't come to that place of full surrender and accepting fully what God wants to do in their life and has done. Would you just pray, however the Lord leads you, would you just pray over us as we get ready to go out into the mission field? We need that.
Lord, I thank you for your many blessings. I thank you for dying on the cross for our sins and loving us unconditionally, for your mercy and your grace. Lord, if there's anyone here that is just, they're struggling with their past, they're struggling feeling that they're never going to measure up and that they're never going to be good enough, Lord, let them feel your peace. Let them just give your blood, wash it over them with your spirit. God, I ask you, God, just to touch the lives here the way that you've blessed us. Don't let anyone leave here without knowing you fully. I praise you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're my beloved, you're my bride.
Sing over you is my delight.
Oh yeah.
Come away with me,
my love. I mean, you say, I will. It's a no-brainer. I will. Christy, my family that's been around you say to me, that lady got something. And it's more than just the shining armor in the night. Jesus. And I see it in both of you. I do. Father, thank you for our time together this morning. Melt our hearts. Help us to just watch the tourniquet come off and faith come alive and us really believe that you've done something marvelous. Cleansed us, sanctified us, righteous us. May this day be the first day of difference. And may the new rush in, the new joy, the new peace, the new desire, the hunger for you. I want to know you because you love me. You're not there to harm me. You want me to be like you. Lily of the valley, brighter morning star, for all that you are and all that you do. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless.
And you're my bride. Watch over you is my delight. Come away with me, my